What is phase two?
New day is dawning. The day of the
Power Cosmic Podcast.
Gathered from around the galaxy comes the world's greatest comic book fans, all in one terrific podcast. It's the
Power Cosmic Podcast.
With your host with the most, the man who puts on Terrific Con, the world's greatest Comic Con every August at the Mohegan Sun in Uncasville, Connecticut, Mitch Halleck. Joining Mitch each week will be an assembly of his terrific super friends. Join them as they talk about comic books, movies, and more. It's the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Power Cosmic Podcast.
Hey everybody, it's your old pal Mitch Halleck here, the man from Power Cosmic Podcast. You're about to hear the review of Aquaman by myself and artist-writer Jerry Ordway. We got to see a special preview of the film with Amazon Prime. We saw it last week, but I held off and did not post the review until the film officially opened. And as of today, December 20th, the film is about to open. So what you will hear is the review of Aquaman, what we thought of the movie, some of the plots and the plot holes, if you will. Was Aquaman the king of the sea, or was he a fish out of water? You will find out in today's Power Cosmic Podcast. But I have to tell you, in God's honest truth, if you're looking for a superhero movie, go see Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which is not only the best Spider-Man movie ever made, but probably one of the best superhero movies all year, if not in many years. It's funny, it's sad, it's got some poignant moments to it. I know it's animated, but it's not just a fluff cartoon that you see on a Sunday morning on Disney XD. It's actually a very well-written story. It's got some great scenes that you just won't forget. There's a Stan Lee cameo. Make sure you stay for the very end. If you're a Terrificon fan, you will catch an appearance by, maybe the voice of one of our guests that we had this year in 2018 at Terrificon. Makes a little cameo there. So it is a great movie. So honestly, save your money. Don't go see Aquaman. Take it from Uncle Mitchie. Go see Into the Spider-Verse and see it on a big screen if you can. You don't have to see it in 3D because the animation's amazing. You'll think you saw it in 3D at some times. But anyway, here is a fun-filled discussion on Aquaman starring Jason Momoa, Nicole Kidman, Willem Dafoe, Dolph Lundgren, Amber Heard, a cast of thousands, millions of fish, and a whole lot of water. So here it is. Have some fun. And if you haven't seen the movie, don't listen to it yet, because after we come back from the restaurant, we get into the whole spoiler thing. So I'm warning you ahead of time. If you don't want to get it ruined, don't listen to it until after you see Aquaman. Until then, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I'll see you in a couple weeks. And I'm going to start posting some guest announcements on the Terrificon website. And don't forget, you can buy your tickets to Terrificon and CT GamerCon right now. Check the websites for more information. Goodbye. All right, what was it? What's today's date? The 15th of December. And Jerry Ordway and I have just saw an Amazon Prime preview of Aquaman, the new film from Warner Brothers. They don't call it DC Comics. You notice that? It's just DC. They dropped that a couple years ago, even on all the shows. But first off, what do you think about Amazon selling movie tickets? Is that do you feel like an elitist thing in a weird way?
No, but I felt like it was a cool promotion for them to right. get this ticketing thing off the ground, because I'm sure they sold a lot of tickets.
Now, who owns what, though? That's what I kept thinking. Now, Warner Brothers and Amazon are not the same company.
No, but I think Amazon probably said, look, we can do extra. This is like extra promotion. It's like a sneak preview.
Yeah.
So it was probably a win for
extra
both
money.
Of them. And you had to buy your ticket online.
Right.
So
you couldn't buy it at the theater.
No. So there had to be some.
And I knew about this for quite some time. I got an email blast about almost a month ago telling me if I wanted to go. And then I told you about it. But it was only playing at one theater.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this wasn't an IMAX. I was like, if this was on a big screen, it must have been. Yeah. It was very visual.
Yeah.
But it'll be even better on a big screen.
It looked like it was built for 3D.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, because
it's all in 3D environments.
I had a small headache going in, but at some points of this movie, it was so much going on with the fish and the big the big battle sequence at the end with all the there's thousands of fish on the screen, and my eyes were just like, oh my god, I'm thinking of having a seizure here. But all I know is I got a hunkering for a Red Lobster when it was all over. I'm like, that would be a good tie-in. As I'm watching the movie, I go, I don't know about the rest of you people, but I would kill right now for some lobster claws and some butter.
How about crab?
That's what I think it was. And I know Aquaman only from, like, you know, the comics and the cartoons, but I was never, like, a huge Aquaman fan. Like, I can't wait for next week's issue or next month's issue, so... The story, I don't know how many elements were... all the seas. This thing traveled around the world more than a Mission Impossible movie, but it was like, we're over at this sea, and we're at this sea, and then we're at this sea.
Wasn't he the king of the seven seas?
Seven seas,
so
and I was like, yeah.
Seven seas.
All right, so I mean, I get it. And every sea had its own unique thing. Like, one was like Mr. Krabs.
There were different races.
Were different races that lived in the different seas. And
there was the one that was the race of Dolph Lundgren's.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool to see him in
He was actually
it
pretty
was a
good.
Nice part,
yeah.
And he had a lot of talking.
Well, he was in Creed 2, so this guy's actually got a good agent all of a sudden. Yeah. Creed 2, and then this one. But he did have a good part. It wasn't just a two-second...
And it was a lot of talking. And that was one of the complaints early in his career that he was...
Yeah. Well, no, he was an E-man.
He's not a dumb guy, but I mean...
No.
He kind of got typecast that way.
He was actually an engineering student when he got cast for Rocky, because he was on, and he just happened to be, like, tall and in shape, so he got the part. He wasn't a athlete turned actor or something like that. Unlike Jason Momoa here, who... What is his prior stuff? Is he an actor or is he a wrestler?
The movie had a wrestling vibe, though, didn't it?
Yeah, there's that too. But no, what did he do beforehand? He's a big guy.
He was on Game of Thrones. That was his big role.
But he wasn't a sports guy. He wasn't an athlete turned actor.
I don't know.
He was Game of Thrones. He was in Conan, that movie I've never seen. And he's in a bunch of stuff.
He's been in stuff where he...
The only thing I got to say about the King of the Seven Seas, and I don't want to like knock it because I like Aquaman's kind of fun, but he was the character as portrayed here in the movie came across as very dumb, like he was almost like a big jock, like I don't know what the hell I'm doing here. You know?
Like me, I'm trying to figure out where.
Is that like a parking thing or is that the In and Out? Like you park here and get rammed.
I was thinking, all these spots are hard to get out of.
This is fine.
But yeah, no. The movie felt like visually, like you were saying,
it's like a big cartoon, a
beautiful visual.
Yeah,
it felt like all the great. You could see comic inspiration.
Right. They
kept thinking of
a nice still shot would have been like that's a great cover. When
I kept
he's
thinking
jumping
of Flash Gordon, like the 1940s. The Flash Gordon, the undersea kingdoms and stuff like that.
It reminded me a lot of the 80s Flash Gordon at some points when they had the music and he was doing stuff. This is almost like watching Sam Jones again.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of it's almost that same movie where they had the Birdmen and they had the different races. They had that here.
Well, this visually, though, I think Flash Gordon did a undersea thing.
Might have.
I mean, he had all the different in the comic, in the newspaper comic.
Yeah.
But it was visually cool, and I kept thinking of Al Williamson as well with the
environments
beautiful.
Very clean, very bright blues and everything. Like, the color palette was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, even the freaking little chainmail on his orange and green outfit, I'm like, holy shit, that's a really nice job, but...
My problem is that I never felt like there was a compelling emotional core to Aquaman, so I didn't really find that in this, or I wasn't tapping into it.
Is it Black Manta?
Yeah.
That was a cool character, but kind of like the James Bond. You know how they always had that big Jaws character, that like throwaway villain that they beat up? That's what this character reminded me of. It's like he wasn't ever a threat. He was just an obstacle that they had to go beat up. And it was a lot like a James Bond movie, because other than going in the seas, he was in Italy. They were looking for some type
I kept thinking of National Treasure because
I was thinking of Raiders of Lost Ark. Well, like, what is he doing?
They had to solve some mystery to find something, which was
a little weird because I wasn't expecting that from an Aquaman movie. And she was out of the water. Yes, she had no trouble being out of the water, but she
could breathe the other guys. Well, yeah.
And then when the soldiers showed up, they had to breathe toilet water because the guy had no water.
That's such a good spoiler.
No. And I love how somebody in the movie goes, well, how are they going to arrest him? Is he going to have to keep his head in the toilet as they take him to jail? And I'm thinking to myself, if you're worried about that, you've got more problems than I have because it's not a real movie. But I could pause as we get a drink and then go back, or because I think it's probably going to be too loud in there to go start screaming about Aquaman or Awkwafina. There was a lot of tie-ins that they could have done in this movie, like water, you know?
Yeah.
Like, lining up. Who wants to drink water? Well, and why was she eating goldfish?
Why wouldn't you want Aquaman water? Right?
Aquaman water?
Yeah, branded water, if that's what you're talking.
I don't know why they didn't do that. I told you the Red Lobster.
Aquaman beer. Yeah, Red Lobster's another
He drank a lot of beer. I was thinking that would be a great tie-in right there.
Yeah. Seven Seas Porter.
I don't know. I don't know.
So let's
break. I'll pause. I'm starting this back up now. This is post Jerry and I after going to what was that
place? Widow Brown's and
Widow Brown's Bar in Danbury. A little plug there, and we talked about the Aquaman movie, but we couldn't record because it was just way too loud in there. But after several beers and more realization of the film, God bless. Let's just say God bless Aquaman. Hope it makes a lot of money and that makes the impudence to do more comic book based films. But call a spade, if that's legally allowed nowadays. I don't even know. But all I'm going to say is there's a lot of holes in this story, things that don't make sense. Now, do you think there was a lot of script writing going on behind the scenes? Like, was this in development for a long time?
Sometimes you
see a movie that's like, oh, it should have come out years ago, but then it doesn't because they went back and tinkered with it. And then you find there's like 8 screenwriters on it because everyone's added something because there's some things that just don't make sense in this film.
But I don't know that those are things that they really, that was something because they changed something. I think it's because somebody didn't think it through.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Aquaman as a whole in the DC universe is not one of the characters I always put, like, up there with Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman. I mean, he's there, but he's not, like, the bread and butter, right?
Well, don't you think... I used to think, like, when I was a kid, I read Thor.
Yeah.
And Thor was always more interesting to me when he was on Earth than when he was on Asgard. I just, my personal interest level wasn't for all the Asgardian stuff.
Yeah. So what Aquaman storylines would it be of any interest to you?
Maybe Justice League stuff. I don't really remember him, and I don't really have a... That's what I say. I mean, it's unfair for me to say I didn't dislike the movie. I just thought it didn't do anything for me, but I didn't come into it with, like, a great love for Aquaman.
No, but as I mentioned to you back at the place where we were at, the bar, I said the character of Namor, the Submariner, not because I'm a big Marvel fan, always had more interest because you were like, is he an anti-hero? Is he a villain?
Right.
Because sometimes things would set him off.
Yeah, he was attacking the Earth, or he was, like, you know, leading an invasion of New York or whatever.
So, but sometimes Namor would be just a jerk, and I think it was John Byrne who actually came back and wrote an explanation on why he would suddenly have these violent bipolar mood swings. It's because he was almost out of water so long that the oxygen levels in his blood were causing him to have mood swings.
Wow, that
was part of the John Byrne Namor run where they were saying he was bipolar because he was just out of the ocean too long, and sometimes he'd go, let's blow up Earth and kill New York with giant sea creatures, or
mood swings.
let's go date Sue Storm and see what's going on over at the Baxter Building. Oh yeah, it was all over the place when it came to Namor. But Namor was more interesting than Aquaman ever was, you know.
But they didn't really do that many Namor stories. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, they had in Tales to Astonish.
Yeah,
they had a whole bunch of stories that happened in, you know, his underwater Atlantis realm and stuff.
Yeah,
and again, they were just never my favorite. You know what I mean?
Lady Dorma, you're like, oh, okay, it's a soap opera.
Set on Earth, and that was, I guess, that was, like I said about Thor. So with Aquaman, I can appreciate that it really was world building. I mean, they did an amazing job with the design.
Just real quick, we're going by a house that is so lit up for Christmas, it looks like Disney World. They must really like Christmas.
Well, imagine what their electric bill is.
Yeah. Wow, it is something else. You can see that from space. But anyway, the Submariner, if you're going to compare underwater characters to underwater characters, I'm going to vote for Submariner all the time.
Yeah, Aquaman to me was best in the Brave and Bold cartoon.
When he was combined. Oh, when he had the beard.
He was boastful, yeah. And he was kind of like Thor would be in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
He was somebody, he was a fish out of water. He was boastful. He was comedy relief because he was very big.
Yeah.
And I thought they did well.
He was outrageous.
Yeah, and they did well with Jason Momoa in the Batman Superman and as well as Justice League with that same kind of, you know, my man.
Over the top, yeah.
Yeah, let's do this and stuff. He's got this kind of a biker vibe.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, definitely.
And that's fun. But again, it's like when you see a guy like that, it's like watching. Well, here's a comparison.
I know what you're going to say.
Well, I was going to. You're probably not, because I was going to say it was going to say Mark Twain with the Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court, because ultimately, he doesn't belong in Atlantis because he's raised, you know, kind of as a human and all that stuff. But is it that interesting? You know, that's the problem I had, is that I wasn't necessarily that interested in the Atlantis stuff because they really didn't do much. There was no character bits within Atlantis. There was no, you know, I mean, you'd think, okay, there's a kingdom like in Game of Thrones or whatever.
Right.
They're walking through the courtyard. There's people selling stuff. There's other stuff. Here it's just, you know,
all they do. They get up and they work.
Right. You just see the pageantry, and that's not as interesting.
I was going to say it was like a Saturday Night Live sketch where you see it for 3 to 5 minutes and it's funny. But when they expand it to a movie for 90 minutes, suddenly it's not as funny anymore. And you realize maybe that should have stayed a sketch and not a full subject matter for a film. Like they did it with, Wayne's World was fun. But then they did a lot of other Saturday Night Live sketches that weren't so fun. And they made a movie. Same thing with Aquaman. Maybe he's good in small doses.
When
you put him out in a full movie, you're like, yeah, I don't know if this was really the best thing.
What we were talking about in the bar, I mentioned that I'd watched Excalibur again.
Yeah.
And I thought Excalibur held up really well from the 70s. I mean, from 81, I guess.
It's a classic King Arthur story.
I mean, the actors were all really good, and not everybody stood out, but the guys who needed to stand out stood out.
Yeah.
And I think in here, a lot of the acting just felt like a little restrained and flat. You know, like there wasn't much for them to do, basically. It wasn't that they were bad. It was just that they had no emotional range to show.
Well, I think they surrounded Jason Momoa purposely with good actors. They gave him Nicole Kidman. They gave him Willem Dafoe. They gave him Patrick Wilson. These are all people that have done well in other movies. And they're like, don't worry, you got a good support team behind you. And then, unfortunately, Momoa just came across as, like I said,
A
quarterback. I thought the movie felt more like a Flash Gordon 1980 movie, where you had Sam Jones going through this with great set designs, great costumes. But at the end of the movie, I've never watched all the Flash Gordon because I've never been engaged in it. I'm just like, it's boring. And Aquaman, to me, felt a little boring.
Yeah. Well, again, that's part of bringing you into it. I mean, I thought the stuff with his mother was interesting.
Yeah.
But again, there was stuff that took you out of it because they really never felt emotional enough.
They were trying to make like a Wonder Woman fish out of water sequence a couple times. They're like, oh, look, now he's walking around Italy.
Fun. To me,
those were the good parts of the movie. Yeah.
The stuff, it really was that, like watching a movie with a kingdom or whatever, where you're just, all you see is the king and his court. You never get to see anything else. It just felt like a little flat.
And the villain really wasn't a villain because you're like, well, why is he? Why is he declaring war on the surface world? What the hell did the surface world do to him today? It seemed like out of nowhere. That's why probably today's Monday, Tuesday, and suddenly Wednesday afternoon, I'm Ocean Master and I'm going to declare war on the entire surface world. It made no sense. I was like, what happened to trigger that?
He ejected all the garbage from the ocean.
I was like, well, there you go. You just cleaned up the ocean.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and here's all your battleships. And then they didn't show all the collateral damage because I said, you know, there had to be sailors that got killed and, you know, people got wiped out when he's doing these tsunamis, throwing ocean liners or aircraft carriers right back at the earth. It made no sense. And then at the end of the movie, they have a subplot with Black Manta. It doesn't pay off. It's like he's got all this great technology. He's like shooting laser beams out of his red eyeballs. Why, if he's so smart, why can't he make a smaller helmet? Right. That's what I'm going to say. That thing is like Dark Helmet from the Spaceball movies. It's like, what does that weigh, like 100 pounds?
Well, it's more accurate to the comic design. That was it.
Oh, it's definitely, it looked just like the comic. But all I kept thinking is, you know he's not turning his head fast.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Black Manta, I'm behind you. What?
How heavy is that? You, like, oh, you turn your head and suddenly it breaks your neck all the way around.
And they had a great little action sequence in Italy, but I was literally falling asleep because I'm like, why is this here?
That chase scene was really good. That was
the
best sequence in the film, except that there's no real point to it except that it was fun.
Yeah, he crashes through the Italian lady's house.
Well, I mean, there was an extended thing of them running across rooftops being chased by the bad guys. And it was really, like, very thrilling.
Yeah.
It was like something out of Mission Impossible.
Like Jason Bourne movie, yeah.
But, I mean, the ultimate goal, it's like, well, what did it accomplish in the movie?
Nothing, really. And then, yeah, like I said, it was like a slice of another movie. And then you went back to the other story, like, okay, now what?
I mean, like you, I went into it really wanting to like it and expecting to like it.
I want to like all these movies.
And I just felt like it just felt flat to me. And that's, you know, you could watch it and love it. And that's, I love that. That's fine. You know, maybe we're really not the target audience. Maybe that,
I heard some kids clapping and laughing in the movie and I felt bad. I go, maybe I'm just too old for this now.
Well, we don't. Do you play video games? I don't play.
No, I don't play video games.
I have nothing against them, but I think that it felt like that it had that vibe to it. And maybe that's what you
said. It felt like a wrestling TV show at one point. What was that? The little fight here?
Yeah. Well, the sequence before that, too, is like there was the sequence where he has the kind of a fight on, I guess it was supposed to be Maine. You know,
the only place they did not film on location was actually New England when they were at a lighthouse in Maine. Everything else was filmed on location. We're both like, why can't they come up to Maine for a couple days instead of
get an actor who, even though the guy's a known actor and he's certainly
Morrison.
Yeah, he's decent, but he just could not do.
He is not from New England. No.
And it just kept slipping, and it was a little distracting. But
I don't even think he attempted a New England accent at one point. I was like, was he trying to?
American accent. He was trying to do an American accent, not a New England one.
Yeah, you know, it didn't work, you know. And I noticed it because I had...
Where's Alec Baldwin when you want him?
Because I had a golden retriever. I could tell, like, the age progression on how old it was. So I go, okay, it's supposed to be a couple years now because the golden retriever has gotten older.
A puppy at the beginning.
Yeah, and then Nicole Kidman, who looked very hot in that spandex outfit, and I'm going to, spoiler alert, she shows up 20 or 30 years later in the same clothes, and all I'm thinking is, all that time you were there at that kingdom, you couldn't get, like, a change of an outfit? Like, that thing must smell really bad.
Well, she's 50, so, you know.
Well, it's just weird she was in the same clothes for 50 years.
I know. And you could, you know, again, she was good.
Oh, she was fine.
And it just, I think that there were no real high emotional, there's no emotional scenes that would have.
You know what, in the beginning of the movie when the King's Guards come to get her back with the lighthouse and they're throwing, like, the stormtrooper guys break in and she's throwing some trident around. Right. That actually was more exciting than a lot of the rest of the movie.
Yeah. You know? And again, it was, like you had said when we were talking earlier, there's battles with millions of characters.
Yeah.
And it's all CGI
or
whatever. There's a point where you kind of zone out because it's just overwhelming. It's like a crowd scene where nobody stands out.
Right. I mean, you know what it reminds me? Did you ever see the movie Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow?
Yeah, it kind of falls. Like I said, it looked great, but it still falls short. It just didn't emotionally engage you.
That was a movie that I remember seeing with my kid, and I go, oh, my God, this is before CGI took over the world. And I was like, it was amazing, the effects, but the thing
visually very well designed, and it was like, at a certain point, it almost felt like a jukebox of, here's this scene, here's King Kong.
Gwyneth Paltrow didn't sell it at all, and I'm like, it's like they're two different movies. I'm watching the special effects as the plane is flying down 42nd Street and, you know, and fighting giant monsters. And then they cut to Gwyneth Paltrow, who has no reaction to anything because they were all used. They were this, the whole green screen was all new. I mean, it wasn't something they all did back then. But, yeah, this I almost felt like this movie had the same thing with Sky Captain. You're like,
maybe that's true because so much of it was a computer environment.
Yeah.
I don't know what they would have been reacting to, which has got to be hard. Kind of like the Star Wars, the prequels,
yeah,
where they were filmed with people walking on a
green screen,
green or blue, board.
I mean, all the costumes looked amazing. Like Ocean Master's costume, you like that's not going to come off well, but it looked good with the little starfish helmet and the purple outfit. It looked great. But I had no emotional attachment to any of it. I'm like, okay.
It's funny, I'm going to start thinking more about that Flash Gordon connection because you're right. There was a little bit of the wow, it really looks cool, but they're, you know, just it again
through the motions.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to be. I feel like I'm beating a dead horse here, but it just like with Superman or even like Batman versus Superman, there were like human emotions in that the actors got to express that made you feel them. You know, like. Oh my God! Something happened,
yeah.
And you'd have a reaction like,
"Oh no, no, no!" I'm going to tell you right now. Superman ripping off the car door and finding Lois Lane dead,
right.
And crying for that 2 or 3 minutes on the screen, and then he goes around the world. This, you know, stop time. You didn't have any of that here. You need a couple little quiet moments. Wouldn't have been such a bad thing.
Yeah. Well, but they need to have some emotional weight to them, and that was the thing. There was no stakes, even though the stakes seemed great. Maybe it would have been better to integrate the DC, the Earth, you know, the above ground rather than all undersea stuff. Because you really get no threat. Like, oh, they're going to ruin, you know, life for surface dwellers. But you really didn't feel it,
yeah,
you know?
Like, and compared to Wonder Woman.
It felt too isolated undersea to me.
Well, Wonder Woman is the bar that all the DC comic movies have to go over. And I'm like thinking to myself watching this film, it's not even getting there. It wants to be, but it's not because Wonder Woman was in World War I. Everybody knows what World War I was. There was human characters.
Right,
this whole movie, there was no human element to identify. His father was the only character in the movie that was a 100% human guy that I was like, oh, I hope his dad's okay. I literally, at the end of the movie, I go, I wonder what happened to his dad, because I don't care about green skin,
right.
Fish squid people. I have no... as much as I like to be, you know, I'm all behind the crab people. I'm a 100% crab, man. I just don't care about them in the movie. And I'm thinking to myself, you know it's bad when you're watching the movie going, is that John Rhys Davies as the voice of the crab monster? You know, it should have been Clancy Brown. Well, it should have been Mr. Krabs.
It would have been funny. But didn't the other guy, didn't he do Boss Nass in the Star Wars?
Oh, no, that's what I was saying. It was Brian Blessed, who was in Flash Gordon. And that's what I started thinking. Like, instead of the Hawkman, we've got the Crabman. Instead of Timothy Dalton, we have this guy here. And Willem Dafoe's walking through that movie probably thinking to himself, like, did the check clear? Did I get my paycheck? Why am I here? I was the Green Goblin, you know.
I really do think what we hit on it was the fact that so much of the environment is created.
Oh, yeah.
That it really has to be hard as an actor to... like have somebody say, okay, look, you're going to look really happy because all of Atlantis is now accepting you as a king or whatever. But how do you sell that without, you know, having a crowd?
You know what it reminded me? Did you see the sequel to 300?
Yeah.
And they had this big Navy battle at the end of the movie.
Was that 301? Was that
what it
was?
No. No. I don't know what it was called, but I remember just watching it. And I'm watching this humongous... Navy battle at the end, and all these ships were there, and everyone's fighting and stabbing each other, and I'm like, checked out.
You can't pick anybody out of the crowd, and that's a problem with guys in armor and helmets too. Is
they're all generic?
Yeah, it becomes a little hard to empathize, you know.
Yeah, the only guy I felt bad for was the guy that couldn't breathe out of water and he had to shove his head into a toilet. I felt bad about that guy. I was like, geez, I hope he's all right. And as one of the lady in the theater said, how are they going to arrest him and book him if once they pull him out of the toilet, he's going to die? Do they bring the toilet water with him? And I'm just watching it going, no, does that woman really think about this stuff? That I thought I was bad, but Jesus.
They got to do it like when your kid gets a fish, a goldfish, and they have it in a plastic bag full of water.
And what are they going to charge him with? That's what I'm thinking. Like, they bring him down to the station, and he's in this armor with this, like, sea monkey stuff. They should have had sea monkeys in it.
He was charged with being a fish out of water.
Ah, there you go. But at the end of the movie, I like he goes...
Take him away, he goes, Clancy.
Yeah. No, that was in Superman. He's like, Officer Mooney, take him away.
Confession is good for the soul. I'd listen to this man.
What does he have? I think he's got some illegal shells in his pocket.
Yeah, right.
I mean, what did the detective? What was the crime he actually committed? He came out of the
property damage. That's actually probably worse.
He broke through that Italian woman's house who was watching her stories on the show.
And she was dusting.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't want to. Oh, but that's okay. I don't want to get on the bandwagon, but I was like feeling a little Italian, a little racist. There's a possum right there. We almost ran over a possum here. But I was sitting there watching going, oh, so what are you saying is old Italian women just sit around the house and watch soap operas while Atlanteans crash through the roof.
So, Mitch, you're going to listen to this tomorrow and you're going to go,
I can't put any of this on. No. I'll be sued in a heartbeat. No. Oh, the fact that they didn't know me, I was like, I don't care. I'm going full guns.
Italian.
There goes the Italian old ladies coming to Terrific Con.
For you.
Is there a Spock 9 here? No, he died. Ah, then the hell with your show, Halleck. I'm not coming to this thing. And I just did a crazy rant today on Facebook about bad podcasts. I said, listen, if I want to sit around and listen to a bunch of guys burp fart in their basements, I will. But I don't want to. That's not entertainment. I call that Tuesday.
I don't believe we burped or farted, though.
So. No, we're very good with our gas and fluctuations. And let me just say, the Power Cosmic is 100% gas-free.
You could probably, just be what you're green.
Yeah, you could eat off the floor. Yeah, but no, Aquaman. Like I said, I'll give it a 6 out of 10. The fact that they made an Aquaman movie is amazing to me because I remember that was the joke in that show Entourage years ago that he got cast as a superhero movie and it was Aquaman and the whole joke was
crazy.
They'll never really make an Aquaman movie because he's a joke, you know.
Well, they made fun of him with the talking with fishes, right?
Oh, yeah. Even in the last Batman Superman, it's like, you talk to fishes, right? Yeah.
See, I think Jason is a... He's a got a guy. Lot... And he's got charm, but they really didn't even have him extend himself. It's like, all he got to do was kind of jokey comebacks. And I felt like there was no... You know what I'm saying? Like, he's...
No, you remind me of the guy in the 60s. He reminded me... What's the guy that just died that was Comanche or... Posey in the Dirty Dozen. That's who I was thinking of. He's a big guy. He's not the Rock, but he's in that little category. Like Jason Momoa could be the new Rock, if he had a good script.
Yeah. No, I think he can do it. They just didn't ask him to do anything more than like he had probably more resonance in Batman, Superman, and Justice League. Yeah. You know, there was at least there you felt like there was some fun in the character. And, you know, maybe it's part of the way the thing was structured or something. And
where do you go with this? Because here's the other problem, too. He's now the king of Atlantis.
Right.
And at the end, there's an after credit sequence, not giving out much at all, where Black Manta survives and he's, you know, I'm coming back.
Revenge.
Well, how long would that fight take? Five minutes?
No, I mean, I'm just, it. Well, again...
Whatever. I don't know Aquaman lore. Maybe it's a big story. Lore.
Yeah, I just think that if you were reading Aquaman, maybe you would get more out of it if you've been reading it for the last 10 years or something.
I only knew a couple of things about Mera. Like, she married Aquaman. They had a boy. The son died, written by Paul Kupperberg. And then Mera dies. That's about as much as I knew. And then I remember his hand getting bitten off, and he had that hook hand, which I was thinking about. Did you see when the soldiers got their hand bitten off?
Yeah.
I go, oh, my God, are they going to do the Peter David thing now where the guy gets a hook on his hand?
No, I mean...
But that's it, though. I mean, Aquaman doesn't have the greatest storylines.
But that's what you write in a movie, right? I mean, I don't understand why, if you're doing a movie like this, why you can't come up with something that's more personal somehow. You know, I mean, the fact that he's fighting his brother should be more personal. I mean, they made it work in Black Panther, you know.
Yeah, but I'm like, I'm thinking, does he hang out with his brother? Does he even know this guy is his brother?
I mean, look at the, like, in the plot. I kept
Black Panther's a great story. Yeah.
But I kept thinking of that because Black Panther, basically, they had to fight for the right to be
the king.
And the same thing exists in here, but it didn't feel like the stakes were that high.
Actually, you know? Now that you say that, there's a lot of similarities in it.
There were.
I mean, at the very end, the big war fight.
You know? You're talking about a whole different kind of culture, you know, and they had the hidden city, just like Atlantis is a hidden
Wakanda.
City. Yeah. I mean, they had their technology, and they've been around a long time and all this stuff. So it just...
Yeah, but I'd rather watch Black Panther five times more than watch this again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, it was unfortunate, but it... You know, maybe, again, like we were talking, maybe somebody who's reading the books will go into it with more of a, you know, willingness.
But I never read any Black Panther comics other than the Fantastic Four.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like, and I actually, after that movie, I went back and got the Don McGregor books because I wanted to read more about it. But I'm not going to walk out of Aquaman tonight and go, you know what, let me go back and get the Mort Weisinger classic Aquaman omnibus.
Yeah.
If there even is such a thing.
Yeah. No, I think, I mean, to me, the Aquaman, and again, this shows my age, but
yeah.
Aquaman was interesting in the 70s when he was basically, it was also part of the pollution and the, you know, the hippie era where, you know, we're polluting the environment, and they did that kind of, they really did do a lot of stories with Aquaman and, you know, polluting the oceans and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's still kind of, would be a hook.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they did do a little bit with it, but they didn't do enough with it. I think that would have been a better...
It
would have been a better reason for the Atlanteans to want to have war with the surface dwellers. I felt like their motivation wasn't, like, even though we know it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You go, okay, well, you have a problem with
that. Yeah, I'm like, why is he mad at the surface world?
Well, because they're pumping trash in the ocean, and they're pumping industrial waste and
yeah, but like I told you, you're playing screenwriter right now and writing that into it. That wasn't on the screen. That wasn't in the movie.
No.
You shouldn't have to make up your own story to justify what you saw.
I think it would be also a more interesting counterpoint villain would be if you showed some representation of that, you know, as your secondary villain.
They could have done like a rare sea creature dying because it's been polluted, its environment, and the guy goes crazy like an environmentalist and goes, you know what? I'm going to take out the Earth now, or the surface world, for killing this rare...
But superheroes work with a one-on-one thing. It's not... It's like me against humanity is not as interesting as me against that bad businessman.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I think if you had a villain in that way that you could relate to, because we could relate to it and we could go, yeah, we're surface dwellers, but we hate that guy too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There was no way.
Now, one point in this movie, did they ever shake it from the people that live above land? They did GPS.
Yeah.
I saw that global broadcast in the old
galaxy.
Right. Yeah. But I was like, why aren't they shown?
Isolated from the other movies. I think, again, it would have...
Well, they referred to the Justice League movie.
Yeah, but you wouldn't necessarily need to see Superman or Batman. But obviously, if there was a giant, you know, invasion of Earth, then there's a reason that these guys would want to be in. So it felt like they made choices to isolate it underground or undersea so that they wouldn't have to have...
Yeah, at the very end, they kind of referred to, like, we think there's been something underwater. It's actually still listed as a myth at the end. They go, we think we found records from satellite photos of Atlantean technology. They don't even... acknowledge that there was this big war, even though they had tidal waves showing up, wiping out whole aircraft carriers. I'm like, wait, what caused that?
And Aquaman, obviously, they're referencing Justice League, so in a shared universe kind of thing,
yeah,
some of that would have gotten out because Aquaman was clearly known to Batman by the time of Justice League, that it was this guy who could talk to fish or whatever.
Yeah,
so. It feels
it's a little convoluted.
They were trying story-wise, they're trying to contain it so it didn't bleed into the other properties. But it would have been more interesting to me, just as putting on the writer's hat.
Yeah,
would have been interesting to have a reason and a strong, you know, emotional reason to kind of have these guys suddenly. What was the turning point? You know, I mean, you've been polluted. We've been polluting the oceans for years.
Well, no, you could have played that environmental card. That would have been a great motivation. It made no sense. I told you, it's like, why did this guy suddenly decide today he wants to wipe out Arthur Curry and become the king of the seven seas? And, by the way, also attack the earth. It was like, or the land. What's going on? There was no motivation.
Right, and it's one thing if you do a story about, like, a succession or kings trying to rule other kingdoms or whatever. That's kind of, that can be interesting, but they didn't devote all their time to that, and they didn't really make that interesting.
No, and again, just space special effects gorgeous, yeah. But the whatever
design was amazing.
Whenever Amber Heard was on land with that bad purple wig, red. I just kept staring at it going, does anyone else know how bad this wig is on this girl?
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
But I mean, again,
it's distracting. You're not paying attention to the story. You're watching the wig.
The big thing, if there was something interesting for you to grab while you're watching it, that was the big thing. So,
so what do you think it's going to make budget movie when it finally does open up next week? You think it's a couple hundred million?
I think it'll do well. I just don't. And again, we're old guys, so it's possible that if you're a young person who read all these books and you know, it had a very video game look to it.
It did very much like looking at a video game.
The camera movements were very much like a first-person shooter game or whatever, which is fine. I didn't have a problem with that. I just felt like I wanted more emotional content.
Yeah. I actually told you I saw the Spider-Verse movie Thursday night. I was more emotionally engaged and enjoyed that film. And it was an animated movie. There was no actors in it. It's just the story was so much more engaging. I'm like, wow, I hope Spider-Man from the alternate world really does well. I actually cared more about a two-dimensional drawing than I did about Aquaman.
Well,
so
voice actors must have been good, right? They must.
Well, it was just the setup. It's like you suddenly felt bad for Peter Parker being this 40-year-old midlife crisis. Wife left him, and he's wearing sweatpants and eating food and gained some weight. And I'm like, oh my God, I hope Spidey comes back. You want to see the hero come back as opposed to.
So
this
that's your big thing. There's your connection. It's relatable.
Oh yeah,
in armor, you know, scheming behind the scenes and is not as relatable. So you have to make that relatable.
Yeah,
Game of Thrones made that type of thing relatable because it wasn't just, you know, oh, here's the good guy, here's the bad guy. You know, they showed people at different levels of society and all that. I mean, I think if you're going to sell a whole world, maybe everybody in Atlantis isn't rich either, because no kingdom works that way. The royalty.
There was no peasants under Atlantis.
We saw no peasants. Who's working? Who's doing the?
What do they do for a job? Do they fish?
That's what I'm saying. Like, not that would add to the story, but it would make it relatable.
No, when they showed Wakanda, he was walking down the street, and you saw guys on the street corner selling like food and stuff. Like, oh, that's like a real place. I could get that. It's a city.
Square. There's people selling stuff. There are people buying stuff. I think it's different when you're creating a new environment and you want people to somehow relate to it. You have to give them stuff that they can go, oh, okay, they eat there too, right? I mean, or they who cleans their house?
Yeah. Do they drink water underwater? That's right. What I'm thinking. Like, do they have a sink?
They drink air.
I don't know. I'm watching that going, wait, do they, and when she, Nicole Kidman ate a goldfish, I'm like, do they eat fish? That's that'll ruin the whole movie.
She didn't eat the dog.
She did not eat the dog. They do have dog fish though. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it was beautifully made.
Yes.
And it looked beautiful, and I really wanted to root for Jason and all that. But you know, you still have to find a way into it. You have to find something that really
best scene in the movie is when he stood there with the trident with the orange and green on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, look at that. That's a great poster. Yeah.
And that was him. It was a king moment, right?
Yeah.
But it was effective because you felt like, oh, I recognize that costume, and
it's
a big moment.
It's a callback.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But after that, I was like, okay, now what? Anyway, that's been the official wrap-up of the Aquaman movie. Go see it. Make up your own mind. Don't listen to us because we're old. But, I'd rather go see the Spider-Verse again, personally. And what are you going to go watch?
I'm going to hopefully see the Spider-Verse movie, too.
And what else is coming out this summer?
There's we were talking about that. That one with Steve Carell where he...
When he makes up the imaginary thing with the little town?
Little military soldiers.
Robert Zemeckis. Yeah, that looks interesting. That looks good. And then there was another big movie that was supposed to come out.
Well, there's a lot of stuff.
Deadpool 2, I'm not going to go see again just because they changed it.
We saw it on video, right?
I know. I'm like,
why would you pay? I know I can bring my little kids.
Yeah, because it's only PG-13. They added 5 minutes of footage and they cut out all the sex and nudity. I'm like, really? That's what we're doing now? Hey, no, kids. I thought there was another big movie. The Laurel and Hardy movie is coming out.
I think that looks really interesting.
I think it's coming out before
John
Christmas.
Riley playing Oliver Hardy and I think Steve Coogan or something is. As Stan Laurel.
No, they did that well, and then
there's also Sherlock Holmes with John
with
C. Reilly.
With C. Reilly and Will Ferrell. Which is funny, because I remember they did a Sherlock Holmes Smarter Brother.
Yeah.
Wait, Marty Feldman?
And it was Gene Wilder, yeah.
That was like 40 years ago?
Yep.
Anyway,
there's other stuff. I mean, this is going to be a big season. I think a lot of stuff opens closer to Christmas.
Yeah. No, it was fine. It was good. Go to the movies. What the hell else you got to do? I mean, honestly. It's an Aquaman movie. Did you ever think you'd live in a world where they would make a humongous budget Aquaman?
We should speak about this. Is that it's the first time I saw the Shazam trailer on the big screen,
and I want to go see that more.
It looks fun. It really does look fun. So that was a good thing.
Aquaman. How much money did this movie cost?
I think it cost like close to $250 million.
Are you serious?
But I mean, it's all built.
It's all
yeah.
You saw the credits.
Right, the scroll is like thousands of people. Tapping away at computers.
It's all really?
Yeah.
$200 million for this?
Like 200? I thought it was 250.
Oh my God, Mark! What was it? Patrick Duffy, the man from Atlantis, was $30,000 a week. And it was a better story.
Well, all the underwater hair was a CGI.
The underwater hair looked good. It did. Dolph Lundgren,
right? Because they didn't film anything underwater. It was
what? It wasn't filmed on location. I was wondering that too. Did they have Defoe and all the other actors just bob cranes. Up and down to make it look like
wires.
They were water?
Yeah, I mean, they're just bouncing around on a rig, right?
Really?
Yeah.
I was wondering. I was like, I know they're not underwater, but
they look weightless.
It's like Fantastic Voyage.
Yeah, yeah.
Where Raquel Welch, when she was bobbing up and down.
Well, yeah, and it was defying gravity in her own way.
Yeah, Raquel Welch. How old are the guys on the show? 160, 150, because nobody under the age of 45 is going to go, Raquel Welch, that 75-year-old woman.
Raquel Welch.
Yeah, I know. People are like, okay, this. I wonder why the viewers, the listeners are dropping every week. We do well in senior rest homes.
Yeah, they're listening to us in the old folks' homes.
Yeah, this is not the word balloon, that's for sure.
They put this in all the end of life.
we're number one in hospices across America. That's horrible.
It's horrible.
All right, I'm going home. All right, good night. Anything else you want to say? Go watch. The first season of Superman on your
Warner's,
DC Universe.
The DC Universe, yeah. The first season, good. It's fun.
The rest sucked. The first season, good.
Yeah, the first season was the best.
It was, and then it goes downhill really fast when he's got a mule. That was bad with Chuck Connors.
Wasn't he the guy named Superman? It was like Mitch.
His name, his name was Superman. Yeah, and then do you notice all he does is bash people's heads together?
Yeah, I always think
he just like lands, he jumps through that wall,
cracks people's noggins together,
and just smashes their head. Yeah. Ducks when they throw the gun, and then just
where's that concussion? That study about Superman concussion victims.
Oh my God, he should have like melded their heads together one big melon.
Turn them all into diamonds.
That was just in a Superman. The crossover.
Yeah.
He took the lump of coal and he made it a big diamond at the end. Yeah. But he also had the setting all set in his pocket. I go, he had that plan.
Didn't
for
he use
a
charcoal?
He used charcoal, which charcoal is not coal. Which charcoal. I was watching that too. Yeah. I was like, that's just charcoal. He bought it. It's like taking a Duraflame. It's not going to work.
Charcoal is basically burnt wood.
Yes.
It's burnt wood.
Yeah.
Coal is different. Coal
he
is
did
a
not
mineral.
Have coal. You don't buy coal at the store anymore.
Yeah,
maybe on Earth 38 you did.
Yeah, I was going to say you crush your charcoal.
No, I
from
caught
the grill.
That too, and I'm like, that's not how it works.
Unless he's using coal in his barbecue, so maybe.
And did you notice that the eyes on Lois Lane were a little weird?
Well, both of them, I was distracted by both the Superman. He seemed better as a bad guy.
Yeah,
because he's kind of not to be too
critical, but we are.
But he's got very weird teeth,
I told you about the teeth. I'm like, Superman supposed to have perfect teeth? That guy's got a weird
wide set. You know,
he's got a snaggle tooth going on.
He's not conventionally handsome like Christopher Reeve or
Henry I told Cavill. Dan Perrin. I thought it was Dan Perrin in a costume. Dan Perrin goes, I wish. Dan Perrin will be coming to Terrificon 2019. Tickets on sale right now.
That was really good. Your little segue.
Subtle. It's always subtle. Buy your tickets right now. I got two kids in college. Give me a break.
Mitch will supply everybody with charcoal briquettes. And
you I can know. I'm going
to try to crush them into dog.
Bring your loved one to Terrificon 2019 and engage.
Bring your iron grip. Try to create some diamonds.
Just squeezing the coal, trying to make them into diamonds. Everybody gather around.
Why is everything covered in black powder?
I don't know.
Oh, he's squeezing charcoal briquettes.
People are like, wow, no one's listening to this anyway. I just complained about podcasts today, about how it's just a bunch of people just sitting there talking to themselves and nobody cares.
Well, just so you know, this one, obviously, Jerry was the driver.
Oh,
so
yeah, obviously.
To hold his phone, it wasn't, he wasn't driving while he was trying to hold
the phone.
We don't
want the police arresting, like, wait a minute, that fat little guy was drunk as a skunk.
It was a safe podcast.
It was, no drivers were harmed in the recording of this segment.
We didn't even hit that animal on the road.
No, you actually avoided it. I was like, oh my God, don't kill that poor thing. It might go home and see Aquaman. What the hell was he riding at the end? It wasn't a fucking seahorse. I was so mad. I'm like, it's got legs. It looked like a horse underwater.
It was like a big lizard. It had lizard legs, didn't it?
What the hell was it?
It looked seahorse-like, but it was basically a big lizard. But it was still a cool touch. Those weren't the problems.
Everything was cool looking.
Those weren't the problems with the movie.
There was no emotional attachment.
There were cool
monsters. No
human. There were cool creatures.
It looked great.
Yeah. It just, and maybe if you like a Godzilla-type movie, maybe if that's what you're into, then you'll love it, I think. Wouldn't you say? I was thinking it was that
Pacific Rim movie at the end the big Godzilla thing. I was like,
you want to see cool stuff, and that's fine.
The best part of the movie was when the dad was at the lighthouse keeper, and Nicole Kidman shows up. I go, see? That's a human element. I can identify with it. Always waiting for his old girlfriend. Every day he goes to the end of the dock hoping she'll come back. I go, that's a sad story.
Spoiler.
Yeah, well, yeah. Watching her eating roses and throwing quarters in a fucking fountain over in Italy, I was like,
"Are you bleeping those?"
Yeah, no, I don't care anymore. I don't care. I've lost the will to live.
Well, we should say goodnight.
All right, say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Stan. Goodnight, Ollie.
Yeah. All right. Goodbye.
This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing LLC. The folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.